WMAL News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. A Prince George's County teen with a bright future is now charged with murdering his girlfriend and staging the scene to make it look like a suicide. Jamal Speaks is charged with shooting Sanaya Floyd to death in a Capitol Heights home in April with a gun he bought illegally. After shooting her, police say he put the gun in his girlfriend's hand, making it look like she shot herself. An autopsy found that wasn't possible. Speaks admitted he was involved. Speaks fought to play football at Ballou High School after he was told he couldn't because he was homeless and didn't meet the requirement that he live in the area. He was eventually allowed to play and was then recruited by Temple University. Republicans in Prince William County will head to the polls today to vote in a firehouse primary to choose a candidate to replace Corey Stewart as the chair of the Board of Supervisors, along with three district seats. Current board chair Corey Stewart's not optimistic.
I think it's very possible that the Democrats will control the chairmanship, my seat, and a majority of the Board of Supervisors.
He says Democrats have been making gains in the county. The polls are open today from 10 to 3. President Donald Trump could have a big advantage in 2020 thanks to the strength of the economy. Numbers released yesterday show the lowest unemployment rate in half a century. Democrats know it will be a tough road ahead for them. No incumbent president has lost re-election in a growing economy since World War II. All metro stations south of Reagan National are closed this weekend. Alexandria City Department of Transportation spokesperson Sarah Godfrey.
This weekend is a bit of a dry run for the shuttles that will help people get around on weekends once the closures happen.
From May 25th through September 8th, the Braddock Road, King Street, Eisenhower Avenue, Van Dorn Street, Franconia Springfield, and Huntington stations will be closed for platform repairs. Dash is running a shuttle replacing Blue Line trains, and Metrobus is replacing Yellow Line ones. Concern mounting after North Korea fires a projectile this morning. The White House says it's monitoring the country's short-range missile launches into the ocean.
Nothing's been confirmed at this point from the Joint Chiefs of Staff or the Defense Ministry. We know there have been a flurry of meetings, a flurry of phone calls, the Secretary of State in the U.S. talking to the Foreign Minister of both Japan and South Korea, saying that they're going to work together to further analyze exactly what was launched this morning.
Correspondent Paula Hancox. A Falcon rocket lifts off from Florida's Cape Canaveral this morning with cargo for the International Space Station.
This is the second trip for the SpaceX Dragon capsule, part of the company's resupply program to make launches less expensive. And the first stage successfully landed on the Atlantic Ocean barge just offshore.
We have touchdown of the first stage, Falcon 9 vehicle.
The first stage, also for reuse. By the way, the launch happened on Star Wars Day, something SpaceX didn't miss, saying, "Until next time, may the 4th be with you." Dragon cargo craft arrives at the space station on Monday. Pat Piper on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, the Nats fall to the Phillies 4-2. In the NBA playoffs, the Bucks beat the Celtics and the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Sundays on WMAL, starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Purity Products. And at 6:30, Chris McKay Returns. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Senior Solutions. Hear the Wise Investor Show at 9, the Del Walmsley Show at 10, the Underwriter's Corner at 11, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at noon, Right on Retirement at 1, Mortgage Radio at 3, and Real Estate Today at 7 on WMAL.
Non-attorney spokesperson and sponsored by Openjar Concepts. Attention veterans and active duty military. If you were issued earplugs between 2002 and 2016 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-719-6029 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-719-6029 now. Again, 800-719-6029. That's 800-719-6029.
It's 7:05 WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Maryland, traffic moving well on 270 from Germantown to the Beltway. However, use some caution on 118 Middlebrook Road eastbound past Black Rock Road. Debris reported in the roadway, affecting the roadway actually in both directions, so use some caution there. On the Beltway on the outer loop near River Road, there is construction in the right lane, not causing any delays at this time. And in the district, do we be aware of the long-term work zone on DC 295, both north and southbound at Pennsylvania Avenue. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, a chance of showers and patchy fog, then scattered thunderstorms, a high around 80. Tonight, a flash flood watch is in effect from 8 p.m. until 10 tomorrow morning. Heavy rain, a low around 62. Right now, 65 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Blue Cross Blue Shield believes everyone should have access to health care, no matter who you are or where you live. That's why in every state, our companies are working to improve health and expand access to care. From training former military medics to serve rural America, to helping expectant mothers recover from opioid dependence, we're investing community by community for the health of America. Learn more at bcbsprogresshealth.com. The Blue Cross Blue Shield Association is an association of independent, locally operated Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Listen, if you're back in the singles market, don't be distracted by all the online dating apps and algorithms. The truth is, finding a real connection in person works so much better. And that's what the professional matchmakers at It's Just Lunch do for you. Imagine having a dedicated recruiter for your dating life who guarantees you will go out on dates. Well, that's exactly what It's Just Lunch promises. First, they get to know you. Then they get you on real dates with other educated professionals in a fun and safe environment. Could be lunch, could be drinks after work. The point is, finding a real connection today requires professional, personal expertise. So take control of your dating life today. Call them at 202-466-6699. That's 202-466-6699. Or visit itsjustlunchdc.com. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Cloud-based premium accounting software and full-service payroll for up to 100 employees.
PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Hour two of the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're joined each week by John Gizzi. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And we like to have John on for two primary reasons. Number one, he can connect the dots on a lot of the stories we see during the week. And he can give us a perspective of past precedents when it comes to today's story. So, John, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Great to be here, and I have said on many occasions, to use the title of an old television show, that was the week that was.
Well, that was the Friday that was at the White House, because it appeared that there was sort of a different strategy. The vice president did a TV interview in the morning. President Trump met with reporters after his meeting with the Slovakian prime minister. We had Sarah Sanders out on the White House lawn. We had Larry Kudlow out there. Connect the dots for us.
Well, very simply, the administration is launching an offensive to, and I hope you'll pardon the phrase, moveon.org from the Mueller report. There's a lot of crisis in the world, beginning with Venezuela in such an incendiary situation right south of our own border, to Iran, whose economy collapsed last week, to North Korea, where the president is still in touch with the government of Kim Jong-un and still hopes to make some kind of a deal with them on arms. And, of course, there's the Mueller report. All on the day, I might add, that it was reported that the jobless rate was the lowest in 49 years. One could call this an effort to simply get the dialogue on foreign policy and economics rather than Mueller and alleged Russian collusion. I might add that Sarah Sanders, in one of her rare but increasingly noticeable briefings, this time in the White House driveway, she did point out that the president spoke to Russian President Putin yesterday morning. Much of the talk was on Venezuela and North Korea, but he also assured him what Sarah said Putin knew all along, that there was no Russian collusion, and he cited the conclusion of the special prosecutor. Overall, this is an administration which is widely accused of being out of touch with the media, obscuring facts, being obstreperous with reporters, if not downright cold. And yet, all their top spokesmen were out there, front and center, I might add, on a very, very hot day.
Well, between the president walking out to the helicopter or answering questions in a cabinet meeting or when he's meeting with a foreign leader, even a telephone call on a radio interview, he's very, very accessible. I mean, it's like at least every other day he's out there, if not every day sometimes.
Well, Sarah Sanders has long said that this president has taken more questions from people and reporters than any other president, and that is true. Still, and I can say this from personal experience, the nationally televised briefings in the afternoon are missed. Reporters from smaller publications that cannot afford someone to be at the White House 24/7 miss the one opportunity they have to get an answer back from the president's top spokeswoman. So while it is true that more is being disseminated from the White House and there's a greater reach, it ain't the way it was.
Contentious hearings on Capitol Hill for the Attorney General William Barr. And the way it's ended out, with Jerry Nadler threatening a possible contempt of Congress, it reminds me of the Eric Holder affair when
yes.
It was found in contempt of Congress. And I want to read a quick paragraph from Politico, June 28, 2012. The House has voted to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress over his failure to turn over documents related to the Fast and Furious scandal, the first time Congress has taken such a dramatic move against a sitting cabinet official. In a statement released by his office, Holder blasted the contempt vote as politically motivated and misguided. Quote, today's vote is the regrettable culmination of what became a misguided and politically motivated investigation during an election year.
Shape of things to come. Eric Holder, by the way, was voted in contempt of Congress by the full House of Representatives, 255-67, with 17 Democrats voting to hold him in contempt and two Republicans voting against the measure. The rest of the Democrats, led by then Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, angrily walked out of the House chamber in protest. Eric Holder was eventually acquitted of any wrongdoing following an investigation by, you guessed it, the Inspector General of the Justice Department. My guess is that if Chairman Nadler pursues the same course of contempt, he's going to be reminded of the dismissive responses by his fellow Democrats when Republicans tried to pursue the same course against Eric Holder. Now, mind you this, William Barr is being harangued because of his interpretation of a special prosecutor's report. Eric Holder was being harangued and eventually cited for contempt because of alleged misinformation and untruths about arms that went across the border in Operation Fast and Furious and led to the death of a U.S. Border Patrolman. Either way, I suspect that if this is pursued and follows its course, another Inspector General for the Justice Department will clear Attorney General Barr.
Joe Biden is having kind of a bumpy ride. He's getting it pretty hard from Donald Trump, and he's getting it pretty hard from some of the more liberal wing of the Democratic Party. And he stepped in it over Dick Cheney?
Oh, yes. This is the problem of someone with a long political career and a residue of votes and comments that can come back to bite when the fashion changes. As vice president, he commented that his predecessor, Republican Vice President Dick Cheney, was, and I quote, a decent guy, unquote, who had been very good with him on advice about being vice president. Of course, we know that Dick Cheney, to Democrats, is Darth Vader at this point, and to say anything nice about him is verboten. The criticism is starting already. In addition, it's been reported that Joe Biden once said many nice things, expressing his fondness for his opposite number on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Republican Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina. Thurmond, as a younger politician, was a segregationist who ran for president on the states' rights ticket in 1948. In his later years, he embraced civil rights and voted to confirm blacks to high positions. Nonetheless, he is identified in history as a segregationist, or he is when it's useful to those who are writing history today and who don't like Joe Biden. This reporter can also tell you, being at a luncheon for the retirement of Senator Jesse Helms, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the speaker was the Democratic ranking member on the committee, Joe Biden of Delaware, who spoke about how well he worked with Chairman Helms, even though they disagreed on many issues, and he presented him with an award, a bronze microphone, citing the senator's work on behalf of Voice of America and the U.S. Information Agency. Dick Cheney, Strom Thurmond, and Jesse Helms, not exactly people that one wants to be identified with seeking the Democratic nomination for president in 2020.
Good point, John. John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. You can follow John on Twitter, at John Gizzi. 7:17, time for a check of the traffic and weather on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the traffic center.
On the inner loop of the Beltway at 202 Landover Road, they're doing some overhead sign work blocking the two left lanes, and this has traffic slow from Route 50. On the outer loop near River Road, there is right lane construction, but that is not causing any delay. However, in Montgomery County and Germantown, be aware that 118 Germantown Road is closed in both directions between Richter Farm Road and Riffle Ford Road, right near Black Rock Road, with a fallen tree in the roadway, so you'll need to plan an alternate route. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We're looking for thunderstorms this afternoon. We'll have some heavy rains overnight and rain during the day on Sunday. High today of 80. Tomorrow's high only 66. Cloudy on Monday and Tuesday. We'll have highs in the mid-70s Monday, 82 on Tuesday. Right now in Washington, 62. We're headed to 80 degrees this afternoon, 7:19, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a pleasure to have you joining us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Cheryl Atkinson joins us each week. She, of course, is the host of Full Measure. That's ABC 7 tomorrow morning at 10. Also the author of Stonewalled and the Smear. And Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
So I was perusing the new look of your website at CherylAtkinson.com, and some great stories there, including the link to your Epoch Times opinion piece. The headline really hit the nail on the head: when media narratives become more important than facts. And this also talks about your exit from CBS. This is just a great piece.
Well, thank you. I mean, I haven't tried to correct every false narrative that was put out about me and my departure from CBS, but I kind of take a more global look at it and talk about kind of how it came about that I had to be controversialized by the propagandists in their eyes, so that my reporting, I guess, would not be believed. So they came up with narratives about me that have kind of been ingrained, not that I'm so well known everywhere, but of those who follow the news. Some of these false narratives are so ingrained, I kind of joke that there's no point in trying to correct them, because after all, Wikipedia says it's true, so it must be true. And one of them is, it's commonly reported, and so commonly reported nobody has checked with me to see if it's true, that I left CBS News ahead of my contract because I objected to the liberal bias in the news. And the truth is, when I told CBS I wanted to leave ahead of my contract, I never said that. But it became passed around by people who wanted to use that sort of as a narrative to make me a political person with political motives, which I've never had. And that's just one example I use, and I kind of talk about other things that have happened in the news. Since I departed in 2014, I kind of think I was the canary in the coal mine in some ways for what was to come of the news in such a major way, with people influencing improperly what we report, with narratives being promulgated instead of facts being reported all too often.
I think the obvious next question from a listener this morning would be, why actually did you leave CBS?
You know, I wrote almost a whole book on that and called it Stonewalled, but it had to do with the changes I saw that we've now seen come to pass in a big way, but the changes I saw happening in the news industry, not just at CBS, whereby we had allowed, I'll call them infiltrators, but political and corporate interests, to not only influence us from the outside, but we'd invited them into our newsrooms in ways that they could dictate and shape and make the news change to their own image rather than the facts that we reported. And I was certainly not the only one noticing and complaining about this. I heard that every day from my colleagues, some of them at CBS and elsewhere. Now, that's gotten to be so the norm at many national news outlets that it almost goes without mentioning. But I was looking at this. I think the reason I saw it maybe sooner than some other people is I was doing, as an investigative reporter, the kind of reporting that drew that first early pushback from these organized campaigns as they were figuring out how to do this. And I left after an extended period of time with some different managers that came into CBS, with me understanding that certain managers did not want the facts that were being discovered on the ground anymore. They wanted to dictate little movies to reporters at the beginning of the day, how the story should go, regardless of whether that was what we found when we reported it. So I thought it was an untenable situation, and was not happy after so many years of being a reporter just to kind of sit around and do these assignments they give you, as we say, out of the newspaper or off the wire services, assignments that I fully believed in many instances were reporting information that wasn't quite accurate or wasn't true or wasn't in context. So that was basically why I left CBS.
Many stories right now about the southern border, the illegal immigration. On your website, you've got a story headline on it. Unaccompanied children entering U.S. are usually released into custody of illegal immigrants already here. And the numbers are staggering.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a problem, and I don't have that report in front of me. Maybe you can read the new numbers, but the first 6 months of this fiscal year, if the numbers bear out for the rest of the year, we're going to be way up over last year, which was way up over the previous year. And it highlights only some of the problems with the illegal immigration and our inability to apparently handle this properly. You have children coming in, and even if they're released into the hands of supposed relatives here, who are also here illegally, according to these statistics, we don't know what the relationship is. We don't know what the past is. We don't know if those relatives should have custody of these children. We don't know if they're being used, as they often are, as some sort of work slaves or in some sort of sex ring. It's so risky to let them come in such an unknown situation and then quickly place them in the hands of people that we also likewise don't know. Seems to me it's a real problem.
And those numbers that you mentioned on the website, I'll round them off. And this is unaccompanied children. If you look at fiscal year 2017, it was 41,000. If you look at 2018, it was 50,000. And through March of 2019, we're already at 36,000. And it was 50,000 for the entire last year.
Yeah, so you can see where the numbers are going. And I think the longer we stay uncertain about what we're going to do, the more they simply try to flood the border and come in as fast as they can before any changes are made. And actually, they've been doing that for a good year and a half now, when they saw that there wasn't going to be the immediate crackdown that some expected when Trump got elected. There was a momentary cutback in illegal immigration after Trump was elected, Well, that's all been erased because they've seen that he's not able to do what he promised and that Congress hasn't taken any action. And I think it's resulted in this flood. And one thing I think we forget, it's easy to say we feel sorry for these people, and we do, the good people. And there's a lot of criminals and drugs being moved. But for the good people, we're inadvertently facilitating them hiring the cartels. They can only get across with permission of and the facilitation by the cartels who control the border, the southern border. And so they're paying people, putting money in the pockets of drug people, selling their children, being exploited. And we're the ones that are making that possible, you know, maybe perhaps by our soft heart and our good intentions. But it's not having the impact that maybe we hope it does. It's having the opposite effect, I think.
You've got a story tomorrow on Full Measure that shines a light on a topic that I think many of us just take for granted. We're all familiar with nuclear plants, and we just assume that some of our power probably is generated by nuclear plants. But tomorrow you have a real eye-opener on the status of nuclear plants in this country.
I didn't know any of this. I think we have something like 60 commercial plants operating in 30 states. And nuclear is, you know, by all accounts, clean energy. And so even environmentalists sometimes like it, even though there's concerns about safety and so on, if something were to go wrong. And it's been quite successful. However, when we started looking into it, we found that of over something like 30 nuclear reactors, new ones, that were planned and to be built in recent years, all 30 except one, those projects have been stopped and gone away for various reasons. Could be mismanagement, waste and abuse, way over budget. And only one of those projects is left. There's one active construction site with nuclear reactors. That's in Georgia. And it is billions of dollars over budget and years behind schedule. And it's pretty incredible because this one, if it gets finished, and that's a controversy right now, it's going to be the last modern one that we'll have built in recent years. And all the ones we have that are still going are going to be going offline. You know, they'll have used up their usefulness, or to stay online, they need more money and upgrades. And this sounds like a pretty big problem for the nuclear industry as we decide how much money are we going to dump into trying to make it work, and where do we go from here with nuclear power in the U.S.?
And why do I think for those 29 nuclear plant projects that have been stopped, we're all picking up the tab on those?
Yeah, a lot of that was public money. There was one place where the local people sued and got some of the money back from one of the companies because there was mismanagement and fraud involved. A lot of the money is just down the tubes because they charge ratepayers. Maybe there will be an extra charge on your electric bill every month, it says, or certain upgrades, and that's the nuclear charge for a plant that in the end may never get built. That's happening across the country.
Look forward to seeing that tomorrow morning. Cheryl Atkinson, host of Full Measure. It is tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, ABC7. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
Will do. And definitely check out Cheryl's new look on the website. Good stuff. We've got the news coming up at 7:30. Then we will continue with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland. Good stuff coming up.
Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show. Remember to check out our annual Outlook seminar by logging on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and clicking on Annual Seminar. The goal of our seminar is clear. We'll leave economic predictions to the talking heads and instead help you understand what the markets themselves are telling us. Log in and see how the evidence suggests you can be positioned to properly balance potential return with risk management.
Greg Smith and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. In 1997, we became the first micro distillery in the state of Texas, and we're still making the same smooth stuff after all these years. We're still cooking in a pot still, working with our dogs by our sides, having fun and tasting batches, and I'm still wearing the same hat, even after all these years. Head over to titosvodka.com to learn more about what else we're doing the same. Cheers. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Tito'sVodka.com.
Have you heard the commercials that yell, "We have the buyers"? Well, it's not very good for you if you're a buyer, because frankly, you don't want to compete with all those thousands of people, right? You want an agent who has all the buyers? Nah, you want the agent who's got all the listings. That's Eric Stewart and the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. You want access to listings that have not come to the market? Then Google Eric Stewart Group right now or call 800-900-9104. That's ericstewartgroup.com or 800-900-9104.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Your shot at $1,000, four times a day, 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30, I'm Heather Curtis. A vote on a controversial proposal to add express lanes to 270 in the Beltway is postponed. The three-member Board of Public Works was scheduled to take the vote Wednesday, but Maryland Governor Larry Hogan decided to postpone it after an outcry over the fact that Nancy Kopp can't be there. Montgomery County Councilmember Tom Hucker.
It does show that organized people, you know, can often defeat organized money. And I am glad that the, the governor decided to postpone the vote.
He says the board may vote at its next meeting, May 22nd. If the board votes in favor of the project, it would designate it as a public-private partnership and allow the state to put it out to bid. 19 horses will run in the 145th Kentucky Derby tonight at 6:50, and the National Weather Service is predicting showers and a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon at Churchill Downs. Game winner is the 9-2 favorite for the Derby. It's Star Wars Day.
Today is May 4th, and for Star Wars fans, it's a celebration, as in, May the 4th be with you. But in California, lawmakers have officially voted to declare May 4th Star Wars Day. It's to honor Disneyland's upcoming attraction, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which opens later this month. The city of Anaheim will get at least $14 million more a year in tax revenue from the resort, which will also create 1,400 permanent jobs. I'm Ann Cates.
The Nats fall to the Phillies 4-2 in the NBA playoffs. The Bucks beat the Celtics, and the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets. Up next, traffic and weather.
The city is alive. There are people everywhere going to work, new tourists. You got people going to the game. That's all great. But that means a war for parking. Skip the battle with Spot Hero. Spot Hero saves you the time and the hassle of finding that parking spot. Simply download the app, type in your destination, and pick your spot. Spot Hero has you covered. Plus, you'll get a great deal. Take $10 off your first park on the app with promo code DISTRICT. That's promo code DISTRICT. Spot Hero. Park smarter.
Have you been thinking of buying a home? Are you a first-time home buyer with lots of questions? The main question is, how do I even get started in this whole process? The way you begin is to tune in to the Underwriter's Corner on Sunday, 11 a.m. to the noon hour. Put any question you have directly to the underwriter at First Preference Mortgage. All the loan officers will also be available to talk to you one-on-one. This is one time you don't get voicemail. Getting pre-approved is free. There's no cost to you. Know what you're qualified for, how much money you will need out of your pocket, and what your monthly mortgage payment would be before you go out looking at houses. Join us on Sunday at 11 a.m. here at WMAL 105.9 FM, AM 630 WMAL. I look forward to talking with you on Sunday, 11 a.m. for the Underwriter's Corner.
Don't miss the Underwriter's Corner with host Bill Parisi. Sundays at 11, right here on WMAL.
It's 7:33, WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
A couple of things to watch out for on the Beltway. On the inner loop at Landover Road, they are doing some overhead sign work along the left side of the roadway. And this is traffic slow from Route 50. Now, on the outer loop at Pennsylvania Avenue, an accident reported to be in the right lane. And in Montgomery County outer loop after the spur near River Road, there's construction in the right lane. Now, in Germantown, Maryland, keep in mind that Germantown Road 118 is closed in both directions between Richter Farm Road and Riffle Ford Road because of a fallen tree in the roadway. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel Forecast.
Today, a chance of scattered showers and patchy fog, then scattered thunderstorms. A flash flood watch goes in effect at 8 tonight, a high around 80 today. Right now, 66 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
The SGK Gun Show returns to the Fredericksburg Expo and Conference Center, May 4th and 5th. That's the SGK Gun Show at the Fredericksburg Expo and Conference Center, May 4th and 5th. Details and coupons at sgkva.com.
I have known the folks at Simply Safe for a long time. They're the only ones doing home security right. Simply Safe has round-the-clock 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch. They cover every door and window in your home with small sensors and no wires. There's no contract, no hidden fees, just $15 a month for complete protection. Go to simplysafeusa.com to get 10% off your system. That's simplysafeusa.com.
The lowest fee in real estate is coming soon to Washington, D.C. There's no longer any reason to pay 6% to sell your home. Introducing Rex. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry. 2% total, saving thousands of dollars per transaction. With Rex, you get a full-service team backed by technology. They don't market homes the way traditional agents do. Rex uses advanced digital marketing tactics to directly target hundreds of qualified buyers to your home the moment it goes on the market. And Rex charges only 2% total, not the 6% commission your local broker expects. Get started now by calling 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Since 2015, Rex has saved homeowners millions of dollars in fees across California, Texas, New York, and Colorado. Now it's your time, Washington, D.C., to sign on for a simplified and cost-savings approach to buying or selling a home. To get started, call now at 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Rex Real Estate Exchange in Incorporated.
Saturday morning update at 7:36. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, a CIA-trained intel operative. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, great to have you with us.
Eric, always great to be on with you. Thanks.
All right, a little surprise from Kim Jong-un late last night, our time, early in the day, Saturday, his time, and he fired what they're calling, quote, short-range projectiles. They were aimed in the direction of Japan. There was a celebration going on in Japan, so timing is everything. Not quite sure of the strategy that Kim Jong-un is trying to show us here. It seems to me this is going to backfire on him because all Trump's going to do is tighten the screws tighter.
Well, yeah, short-range weapons from a very short man. He's looking for attention. I think he recently had, and I think we even talked about it a bit, the meeting he had with Vladimir Putin. I think he was looking for help. I think things are going on behind the scenes, which he, the UN, is very unhappy with. And so he's simply trying to do something to keep himself relevant and make himself, an attention getter, as he's always done. And this is the key, that to stay the course. I don't believe for a minute this is going to do anything except get more sanctions or other things added to his problems. One of the things we did suspend on good faith was exercises, military exercises with South Korea. I think that's probably going to be reinstated now, amongst other things. So he can choose to continue to be obstinate and defy the international community, or he can start cooperating and see the benefits of that. But at this point, I think he's trying to get the United States and the international community back on track like in the past, where we just concede and give him stuff and keep going and allowing him the freedom to do what he wants, and that's not going to work this time.
And South Korea expressed, quote, that they were very concerned about North
right.
Korea's weapons launches. So we'll see how it plays out, not only with yep. us, but with South Korea. All right, I want to turn to a big story this week. Headline in the New York Times, FBI sent investigator posing as assistant to meet with Trump aide in 2016. This is George
right.
Papadopoulos. Second paragraph of the story, the woman had set up the meeting to discuss foreign policy issues, but she was actually a government investigator posing as a research assistant, according to people familiar with the operation. The FBI sent her to London as part of the counterintelligence inquiry opened that summer to better understand the Trump campaign's links to Russia. I like the way they say government investigator. What's that a synonym for?
It's called a honeypot, and this was an active operation against a U.S. campaign based on domestic political concerns. There was no indications that the Russians were approaching the Trump campaign. This is where it's a complete fabrication. What we're seeing here, Rick, is simply the FBI leaking information to a friendly outlet, preparing for the bad news in the Horowitz IG report. That's what's going on. There's two fundamental things that are missing that your audience and we need to understand. First, if this was absolutely true, the organization which would have been notified of this issue is called the Trump Organization, and a guy named Donald J. Trump would have been approached by the FBI saying, hey, we have concerns that your campaign is being targeted by the Russians. This is required by Executive Order EO-12333, signed into effect by President Reagan, and says that you cannot have people, FBI agents, spies like myself or others, interact with U.S. citizens if a U.S. or their organizations, this is very key, their organizations if they themselves, that organization, is not suspected of wrongdoing. There's never been any indication that Trump himself was dealing directly with the Russians, and therefore he would have been notified. So that's first thing. Second thing, Stephen Halper, which we may talk about in our interview a little bit later, has been essentially kind of the guy prompting a lot of this setup of individuals like Papadopoulos and others. In other words, you had an active cell linked to the CIA and John Brennan out basically planting these seeds forward so then you could justify the FBI collecting on them later. It's entrapment. So those are the things which are missing from the article, which I think the American public, first off, is seeing kind of the shadows of already, and I think we're going to see a lot more come out in the Horowitz IG report regarding the FBI, and I think that's why we're seeing this now.
I want to turn to your article, because your article in the Delaware Gazette opinion piece, Media Hypocrisy Alive and Well, goes into further depth on this whole notion of the origins of the report. Tell us what you've got in there.
Well, basically, I point out the hypocrisy of the mainstream media, in particular Jake Tapper, where even now there's a continued effort to promulgate the idea that there's somehow collusion in some form. And I point out the evidence that the other side is missing, Rick, regarding the Clinton, DNC, and Fusion GPS collusion. Someone, and this is what I'm pointing out repeatedly now, often, is Robert Mueller completely failed to identify the source document origins. That is to say, the document which drove the investigation and Mueller report is the Steele dossier. How did it get here? How did it get into service to be looked at? It got into service by Clinton, Fusion GPS, and the DNC paying Christopher Steele, a foreign national, for what we now know was Russian disinformation. That's it. But no one has bothered to even look at that and point out the fact that that is truly collusion, probably conspiracy, and at worst, sedition. So these are the things with the media right now is completely ignoring at their own peril. And again, I think we're seeing now that they're going to have to deal with it, based on this new disclosure that the FBI gave to the New York Times.
Okay, we got a lot going on, Tony, and also want to turn to the notion of the DNC relationship with Ukraine. This one's fascinating.
Well, again, more collusion, but not on the side that they were talking about. It's very clear now that the DNC was working to find opposition information, opposition research during their own, on President Clinton or when he was candidate. So one of the sources they went to, which, by the way, this links back to Joe Biden, is the Ukraine. Apparently there was an effort made to find people in the Ukrainian government who would be able or willing to share derogatory information on President Trump, then candidate Trump. So, again, Rick, if you just sit down and look at the evidence for what is the objective truth, the media should be scrambling to go look at the Democrats and all the things that happened regarding their part of the collusion. But, again, it's like pulling teeth. There's a constant drumbeat for Trump, 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 Russia, 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 but no one seems to be looking at the Democrats for what they actually did do, and it's been documented and can factually be verified.
And one final note, Tony, I just want to touch base. Al-Baghdadi, Al-Qaeda leader, has resurfaced. And what's the significance of him coming out on camera now?
Well, first off, you know, we thought we had him, and clearly we didn't. And I think this is a significant act, and he's trying right now desperately to reignite the effort of his part of the terrorist organization he has run. And I think there's nothing much left of his organization and what they've done. So I think this is his way of kind of saying it's time to rally the troops and do something. I'd like to believe that we're going to continue the effort as we have with our Iraqi allies and continue to prosecute the effort to get him and can prevent any resurgence of ISIS or any organization related to what he did.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thank you very much for joining us. And you can check out Tony's piece. It's in the Delaware Gazette, and you'll find it at DelawareGazette.com. The headline on it, Media Hypocrisy Alive and Well. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
Appreciate it. 7:45, Saturday morning update on WMAL. KT McFarland coming up next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
couple of things to watch out for on the Beltway. On the inner loop at Landover Road, they are doing some overhead sign work along the left side of the roadway, and this is traffic slow from Route 50. Now, on the outer loop at Pennsylvania Avenue, an accident reported to be in the right lane. And in Montgomery County outer loop after the spur near River Road, there's construction in the right lane. Now, in Germantown, Maryland, keep in mind that Germantown Road 118 is closed in both directions between Richter Farm Road and Riffle Ford Road because of a fallen tree in the roadway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, for today, we've got clouds. Thunderstorms roll in this afternoon. We'll have some heavy rains overnight, rain for the day on Sunday. Our high temperature today will be 80 degrees. For tomorrow, expect a high of 66. Monday, partly cloudy, high 74. Some clouds Tuesday will be up to 82. Showers back in the picture on Wednesday. 63 now, heading to 80 degrees, and it's 746.
What's the best way to grow your money? While you're sleeping. It's called your investment income. Need good fiduciary advice? Go to GrahamCapitalWealth.com.
You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. This is Mary Walter. I know firsthand that Thompson Creek Window Company does it all. They design, build, and install replacement windows so you won't pay the middleman markup. In the typical supply chain, the manufacturer builds a window, marks it up, and sells to a distributor, who then marks it up and sells the window to a dealer, who also adds their markup. That's a lot of markup. Plus, who's responsible if you have a warranty claim? Thompson Creek Window Company is different because they are the manufacturer, so you won't pay the middleman markup. And they are totally accountable to their customers. You get high-quality windows at an affordable price. Call now to save 40% for a limited time. Buy one window and get 40% off the next window, plus 0% interest until December 2020. See ThompsonCreek.com for details. Call 855-57-CREEK before this offer is gone.
I'm Melanie King, Manager of IT Projects and National Accounts for American Dairy Queen Corporation. We needed a website to satisfy our home office needs and provide our franchisees with a site for communication with the home office. It's difficult to find a company that works with both large and small businesses. Thankfully, we turned to AmericanEagle.com. After meeting with us, they determined our needs and the needs of our franchisees, each one a small business. We now have an incredibly effective communication tool we love. It's mobile-friendly and allows us to manage and communicate national promotions, menu info, and a lot more. It meets all of our business needs. Just remember, when you get the urge for a blizzard or a fantastic burger, stop by your local Dairy Queen. If you're looking for a results-driven web solution that meets your needs, whether you're a small, medium-sized business or an iconic brand like Dairy Queen, call AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 703-WEBSITE. That's 703-WEBSITE. And take your business to new heights.
.748 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. We are joined by KT McFarland. And KT, it's so great to have you back on with us every Saturday morning. It's an honor.
It's a real pleasure.
I want to talk to you about the phone call yesterday, President Trump, Vladimir Putin on the phone, and it leads into a number of different discussions, including Venezuela. But yeah. But first off, kind of the background on Russia, Putin, where we are now in the relationship, and where we go forward.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the media commentary has been a lot of squawking. We're no place. You know, we're not in a position now to improve relations with the Russians. They'll probably have to make a couple of first steps to do so, one of which is to prove they're not going to interfere with our elections. But the political domestic situation in the United States, I think, prevents us from going forward. And it's not clear that the Russians would go forward. So to me, this was just a sort of, hi, how you doing? What's going on? But not a significant phone call.
Well, it takes us, what, back to the 1960s almost?
Yeah. Rick, the great advantage of having me on your show is I'm old enough to give everybody a history lesson. But Russia, I think, is doing a replay of what happened in the 1960s when the U.S. put medium-range nuclear missiles in Turkey that were capable of reaching the Soviet Union. And so they responded by shipping nuclear missiles to Cuba, capable of reaching the United States. So that's when we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the Russians stood down. They turned their ships around, because we called their bluff, and after a few months, we pulled the missiles out of Turkey. I think Russia wants the same deal now. They want to swap. We're helping Ukraine, because despite the noise by the Democrats and the press, Trump has been much tougher on Russia over Ukraine than Obama has. And with additional sanctions, he's given lethal weapons to the Ukrainians. And that bothers the Russians. So what are they doing? They're coming over to our hemisphere. They don't really want Venezuela. It'll cost them and whoever billions to rebuild it. And even if somebody got their hands on the Venezuelan oil, the Russians don't need it. I think what they want to trade, they want to stop us from supporting Ukraine, and in exchange, they'll stop supporting Venezuela. But the problem with this is the Venezuelan people and the armed forces, they're rallying to Guaido. They're eventually going to succeed. Not because Maduro will eventually lose support, because he'll lose support from his own security forces. And we can encourage that by helping those security forces and the people who are still supporting Maduro to change sides.
Well, it's interesting there because the background on Guaido is that he was the president of the National Assembly. The National Assembly found that the elections were flawed. Mm-hmm. The National Assembly actually, you know, basically elected him to replace Maduro. Mm-hmm. And that's what's put us in this position we're in, where Guaido's got our support, 50 other countries, but you've got obviously Russia in there backing them up, and then Cuba in there.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd say that at the beginning of the Trump administration, as the Deputy National Security Advisor, one of the first things we did was to look at Venezuela. And we concluded, and this was well before Guaido, well before the national movement, we concluded that the best solution would be for the countries in the region to help Venezuela and for the people of Venezuela to stand up to Maduro, a colonel, whatever would happen, and that we could encourage that behind the scenes. But we shouldn't send in the Marines. The worst thing we could do is to get involved there, not only for our sake, but for the sake of the Venezuelans and the Latin American people. They need to prove to themselves that they're up to standing up to corrupt and evil leaders and taking their democracy, their self-government, onto their own hands. They need to own their freedom. And they can do it. It's just going to take more time, more pain, more suffering. But in the end, the Venezuelans will take back their country. They will be respected. They will be honored throughout the world. They will set an example for all countries in Latin America and really all over the world that you can own your freedom. You can stand up to dictators, but you have to do it yourselves and from within. And that's what's been so impressive to me about what the Guaido and the Venezuelan people are doing.
Well, Maduro's got the backing of Russia and Cuba.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about Cuba's role, because President Obama changed our policy toward Cuba. It appeared to me at the time that Cuba was making extreme demands on the U.S., including mm-hmm. exorbitant reparations they wanted, yeah. and that any progress that had been made toward improved relations really stalled at the time. Cuba reportedly has an estimated 25,000 troops in Venezuela. The president is increasing the pressure on Cuba, including the possibility of a new embargo. Mm-hmm. How significant a role is Cuba playing in keeping Maduro in power? And if we are able to put some pressure on Cuba, does that ultimately help to move Maduro out of there?
I think they're way overplaying their hand. First of all, 25,000 troops. Who's paying for those? Those are expensive. Are the Russians paying for those? Or are the Cubans paying for those, in which case they'll have to figure out what they're not paying for? The United States has stepped in a number of ways to where Russia used to be. Russia kept Cuba alive for decades. It was a very expensive hobby for them. But now Cuba has to turn to other countries, the United States, maybe China, but they're looking to us. And because of what you said, the President Obama's agreement to hand them everything in the candy store. But now they're risking that. Trump's a very different guy, and he will have no problem putting an embargo against Cuba. He'll have no problem cutting off some of these aid programs to Cuba. So I think they should be a little more cautious about trying to rub our faces in it.
I want to turn to the shenanigans on Capitol Hill this week, the attacks on the Attorney General. And every week it just seems they will stoop to even lower levels in terms of the Trump derangement syndrome that has now really morphed into Barr derangement syndrome.
I watched every minute of that long hearing, and I think Barr is one of the smartest, strongest, most experienced attorney generals ever. And the Democrats, especially the harangues from the senators from Hawaii, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and California, they did everything but spit on him. And what did they do? They sent out fundraising letters about their courage. But Barr is smarter, and he's more agile, and he's more principled than any of them. And what they all failed to notice, what the media failed to notice, was the most important thing about his testimony. He is now going to investigate the investigators. He has opened investigations into not only how the Steele dossier, how the Russia probe started, but well before that. The worm has turned. We are no means, stay tuned. There's going to be a lot to happen in the next year.
So, you know, basically the idea now is to focus on the Trump character flaws.
Yeah. This is what he got left. You know, character assassination, hysteria, and craziness.
Huh.
Trump has created the greatest economic miracle in most people's lifetimes. For women, Hispanics, blacks, young people, old people, everybody. Probably even greater than the Reagan economic recovery. So it's hard for the Democrats to say they're going to make the economy better, especially because the last time they were in charge, the economy was flatlined. So then there's foreign wars. Well, they can't say we're going to pull out of foreign wars because the last time they were in charge, ISIS was running things and the Islamic State was thriving. Trump defeated both of those. So the only thing they have left is character flaws. And by the way, American people are not surprised. They know Trump has character flaws. They voted for him anyway. In fact, some of the people, myself included, voted for him because he was a strong, mean, tough guy. Look, for years, the Democrats and their allies have told the liberal and the liberal media, they've told the country Trump's a Russian agent. He's going to be hauled off in chains. And now the Mueller report has exonerated him on all charges. So there's nothing left for them to do except spend the next 2 years telling you what a terrible person Trump was, investigating everything, and probably including his, you know, subpoena his high school report cards next. But well, I think they underestimate the intelligence and common sense and decency of the American people.
Well, it's like they've been crying wolf now. You know, first it was crying collusion, now they tried obstruction, and now it's just cry Barr. You know, it's kind of like
start
what
turning on each other.
It's like the weatherman.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing that I was going through my head. If you listen to the weatherman every day, and he always tells you it's going to be dark and gloomy and stormy, you take your umbrella, you wear your rain boots, you cancel the picnic, but day after day, the weather turns out to be bright and sunny. At a certain point, you stop listening to the weatherman. You stick your head out the window, and you decide for yourself. And you know what happens then? A lot of unemployed weathermen.
K.T. McFarland, as always, thank you so very much for being with us. We will look forward to talking with you next week.
Talk to you next week, Rick.
All right. Thank you so much. Saturday Morning Update, it is 7:58.
WMAL. It's all about the conversation.
Appreciate the voice you give me.
Chris Plant.
You're funny. You're insightful.
Larry O'Connor.
Thank goodness for your humor.
Rush Limbaugh.
This is it.
Mark Levin. 105.9 FM. WMAL. Where Washington comes to talk.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
At Blue Cross Blue Shield, our companies take what we learn from covering 1 in 3 Americans to make healthcare work better. From pinpointing hotspots for childhood asthma and taking action to keep kids in school, to matching patients with the primary care doctors they need. We use our unmatched data and unique insights to address the needs of the communities we serve for the health of America. Learn more at bcbsprogresshealth.com. The Blue Cross Blue Shield Association is an association of independent, locally operated Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
Where Washington comes to talk.
You're ripping and roaring and you're saying the right things that all the world needs to hear.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
That's it for the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you very much for being with us. Garden Sense comes up next. Follows the news next at 8 o'clock with Heather Curtis.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL.
A Cumulus station.